Numbers chapter 11. We've been talking about taking things for granted and how that if we're not careful as life goes by, we begin to take things for granted. We looked, first of all, that we take life for granted. God's given us another day. It's a blessing from Him. Every day's a blessing from God. Every day's an opportunity. And let's make sure we don't take things for granted, don't take life for granted. Numbers chapter 11 shows the nation of Israel how that they began to take for granted manna, which was a gift from God. Numbers 11, verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. But our soul is dried away, for there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." Now I want you to notice this. The nation of Israel had been led out of captivity, out of Egypt. They had been in Egypt for over 400 years, the vast majority of that time in bondage, in slavery. They prayed to God for a deliverer. God sent Moses, miraculously brought them out of the land of bondage toward the promised land. And as they're in the wilderness, God takes care of them. God provides manna every day that they might go out and eat. And all they had to do is gather, and it was there. But after a while, they began to take that for granted. That's just like we are, that we look at the gifts from God, and if we're not careful, we'll begin to take the gifts of God for granted. Notice James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from God. Comes down from the Father of lights. Notice that all of the blessings we have, they come from God. So we need to make sure that we don't take them for granted. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have blessed us in so many different ways. We're thankful that we're able to come into your house today, that we're able to fellowship together, we're able to sing together, our hearts are able to be lifted before the throne of grace, and we can receive just a great blessing being together. And Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity that we can look into your word and study it. We pray, dear Lord, that you'll bless us during this time, that your Holy Spirit would teach us, that we'll take these wonderful truths and we'll apply them to our hearts and to our lives, so that we might do that which is pleasing in your sight. Father, I pray that as I speak this morning, that you'll give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, that what I say and do might bring honor and glory to you. In Christ's precious, holy, and wonderful name do we pray. Amen. Taking things for granted. As I mentioned earlier, we looked at our first lesson that we take life for granted. If you have another day, it is by the grace of God. If God has allowed you to be here today, it is by the grace of God. If you wake up tomorrow, God's blessed you with another day. That is a blessing from God. That it is a gift from God, and you need not take life for granted. We looked at also taking God's word for granted. And we take God's word for granted when we fail to read it and we fail to apply it to our lives. God's blessed us with the Bible that we can open and we can read and we can learn more about the Lord and about His precious Son and that wonderful gift of salvation and all of the blessings that He's given to us, and that it teaches us how to live our life, and we need not take God's word for granted. Our last lesson we looked at is taking the gift of prayer for granted. And we take it for granted when we do not pray. So many times the Bible says we have not because we ask not. And that we need to be men and women of prayer, praying that God will bless us and God will bless our church, and that people will come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Now we're going to look at another gift from the Lord today. And we're going to see that it is a gift that we don't need to take for granted. And as I go through this, you're probably going to look at me and say, "You've lost your mind. How is this a gift?" And I want you to bear with me as I go through this. And I want you to see that what I'm going to mention is a gift from God, that it is a gift, and that we need not take them for granted. The gift that we have from the Lord is this. All of the warnings in the Bible are a gift from God. God's warnings to us are a gift. Whenever we pick up the Bible and reread the Bible, we come to warnings. A lot of times we don't read the warnings as a gift, But every warning is a gift from God. It is not there to criticize us, to condemn us, to hinder us. It is there that we might make the right decision, that we might get on the right page and go in the right direction. And we need to realize that we need to see all of these warnings as gifts from God. You know, every warning, it has a warning. Either it's a chronic warning or acute warning. And it tells us that if we don't heed this warning, then we will pay the price and there will be consequences to follow. I spent 20-something years working in the chemical industry. And in my last heart surgery, after they went in and they repaired everything, the problem I had was not with the heart, was with the lungs. And my lungs would not come back around, and the doctors could not understand this. And they went to ask Pat, did I smoke? And I said, no, I didn't smoke. She told me I didn't ever smoke. I did smoke one thing. I smoked a Tipperella when I was about 13 years old, and I turned green. That cured me years ago. And I always thank God for that because it made me so sick I never wanted to do it again. But anyway, and they couldn't understand why my lungs was not recovering. And then I looked back and realize I'd spent 20-something years in the chemical industry, and I have run into clouds of ammonia and chlorine and acids and all kind of, from hydrochloric to sulfuric acid to hydrofluoric acid I've had to deal with over the years, and epichlorohydrin, all of the organic chemicals, and every now and then I got soaked down with them. And a lot of times we only look at the acute effects of it, never the chronic effects. It never bothered me right then. But I'm paying the price for it now. And the warnings of God are to warn us so that He might. Now I want you to understand this. God warns us so He might bless us. Never forget that. God warns us so He might bless us. Now there are four types of warnings in the Bible. There's a personal warning. That's a warning to every person. A person who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is a warning so that you might come to know Christ. And He warns the lost to repent. There is a personal warning to the Christian to avoid sin, to avoid backsliding, to avoid walking away, to avoid idleness and laziness, to do God's will. And He warns us of these things. There is a church warning. And God warns the church about false teachers and false doctrine. He warns the church about complacency, about condoning sin, about tolerating sin. He warns the church to go out and to share the Lord Jesus Christ with others. He warns nations. He warns the nation of Israel. He made a covenant with the people of Israel, and He gave them warnings. Do not depart from My covenant. He warns the other nations, the Gentile nations, on how you treat the nation of Israel. If you bless them, I'll bless you. If you curse them, I'll curse you. And there's national warnings. And then He gives a world warning. And that is to the entire world. And that there is coming a day of judgment. And a day that God's going to judge this nation. So when we look in the Bible, there's warnings for the person. There's warnings for the church. There's warnings for nations. There's warnings for groups. Now, the reason is so that God might bless us, so that we might heed the warning, so that we might receive the blessing. Now, I want to show you, number one is this. The very first warning from the Lord. The very first warning. Notice, go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now this is a warning that God gave to Adam. And Adam and Eve, as He put them in the garden, He gave them a warning. He gave them the warning in order to bless them. Now, the reason I say that is for this reason. He said, of every tree in the garden, and we don't know how many trees were in the garden. We think of a vast garden and all kind of trees and all kind of fruit. And the Lord says, I want to bless you every tree in this garden, you can eat of that tree. And you can enjoy the fruit of that tree. Only one tree, stay away from that tree. Do not eat of that tree, because the day you eat of that tree is the day that you will die. And so God warned them in order for them to be blessed and to enjoy what He provided for them. Now, what would have happened if Adam and Eve had heeded His warning and never ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? If they never ate of that tree, they would today still be enjoying every tree in the garden. They would have never died. They would have stayed in the Garden of Eden. God provided everything for them. They would have been there fellowshipping with the Lord. And so God warned them in order to bless them. But so many times what we do is we look at warnings as something that God won't let us do. And we look at it always from the negative, never from the positive. All of the warnings found in the Word of God is so that we might look at ourselves, get on the right pathway so that God can bless us. I want to give you just four kinds of warnings found in the Word of God. There's many more, but I just wanted to bring out four. And my goal is this. My whole goal in this message is this. That when you sit down and you read the Bible, and it says, and it gives you a warning, that you understand that God warned you so He might bless you. And that there's a reason behind it. Let me give you four, just four that are in there. Now, the first one is this. Heed the gift of warnings on consequences. Heed the gift of warnings on consequences. Notice Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and verse 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The Lord is saying in God's precious word, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he's saying this, I want to warn you, what you plant is what you're going to reap, is what you're going, whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. And he says, I want to warn you, if you live a life of sinfulness, you're going to reap that. If you live a life of righteousness, you're going to reap that. And so the Lord is warning and saying, I want you to understand how you live your life will either bring a blessing or a curse. I've said this so many times, I'm going to say it again. If there were only two lessons I could teach, only two lessons I could teach, I would teach number one, how to be saved. And number two, you reap what you sow. If you would learn those two lessons, it will save you eternal misery and misery in this lifetime. He warns us how we live our life. I want you to see the second warning. Heed the gift of warnings on associations. Warning on who you associate with. It makes a difference. Who you hang around with makes a difference. Notice Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Notice that. Be careful who you associate with. The pathway of the wicked. Notice what the Lord says here. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. In other words, let me put it this way. Stay away from them. They will destroy your life if you go toward the path and you run with evil men. I wonder how many today, how many people have ruined their lives and have paid heavy consequences because they hung around the wrong crowd. I'll never forget John. John was my boss when I worked at Mitsubishi. John was there, and John came in one day, and I walked in one Monday morning, and on my desk was all of these files. And John was in his office, and they were just stacked up all over my desk. And I walked in, and I said, "John, what's going on?" He says, "Oh, I want you to understand, I turned in my notice." I said, "You notice?" He said, "Yes, I turned in a two-day notice." I said, "You turned in a two-day notice?" He says, "Yes, today is my last day." I said, "Okay." Now, I left work on Friday and everything was fine. I got to work Monday. He says, "I turned in a two-day notice. I am gone today." And he says, "Let me tell you why." He said, "My son got in with the wrong crowd." His son was about 18 years old. His son got in the wrong crowd. He sent his son off to, he got into drugs and different things. He sent his son off to a rehab facility. Got him off the drugs. He came back home. He got back home. His old friends started coming back around. And this is what he told me. He said, "For the sake of my son, I'm moving back to Utah to get him away from these people." He gave up his career. He gave up a job that he was making six figures for the sake of his son. And he says, "I cannot stay here with them around." I want you to understand, the Bible warns us, who you associate with can highly affect you. It can destroy your life, or it can lift you up. Associate with the right people. Notice the next one I want to give you very quickly. Heed the gift of warnings on living. On living. Ecclesiastes is a wonderful book. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. Learning from the wisdom of Solomon. And he goes through and he says, "You know, I tried this, I tried this, I tried this. And I realize all of this stuff that when I die just becomes somebody else's." And the book of Ecclesiastes, if you read it, in some ways is kind of depressing. Because he says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." But it gets to the end of the book. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." He said the purpose of man is to fear God and to keep God's commandments. It is to follow the Lord. And then he gives a warning that God will bring every work into judgment. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you'll stand before the bema seat of Christ and give an account. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you die without Christ, you will stand before the great white throne judgment and give an account. It's appointed unto men once to die. And then there's an accountability. Then there's a judgment. I want you to see the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a hard passage, but it is found in the Word of God. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not," notice that, "shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Notice that. Those living that lifestyle, be not deceived. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot live in open, sinful rebellion to God and expect to spend an eternity with Him. There is a warning on how we live. The last warning I want to mention. Heed the gift of warnings on eternity. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In Mark chapter 10, verse 17, man came up to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" I want you to understand, and I want to be very plain about this. God warns us about eternity. We are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. This old body's going to die, but the spirit's going to live forever. It's going to either live with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and in the new earth, or it's going to live in hell's fire apart from God. There is no limbo. There is no purgatory. There's only two places. And it depends on whether or not you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the answer. What are you going to do with Christ? Because there's coming a day that we're going to pass from this life into eternity. And I have seen many leave this life and go into eternity. And I have seen the ones who knew the Lord Jesus Christ pass from this life to eternity with great joy and great happiness because they were going home. But do not be deceived. No man, no woman will stand before God unless they're covered by the blood of the Lamb. And God warns us so that He might bless us, so that we might come to Christ. That's why the warnings in the Bible are there. They're there so that He might bless us. So I want to leave you with this. How do we see the warnings as blessings? How can I see the warnings as blessings? When I open God's Word and I read God's Word, and I want you to tell you, there are times that I open God's Word and I read God's Word and it cuts to the quick. And it hits me right between the eyes. And it shows me my shortcomings. And it shows me my failures. And it shows me where I have fallen. And it hurts. But I've got to look at it and I've got to understand that God is warning me in order to bless me. And I want to give you three things on how you need to see the warnings as blessings. The first one is this. You must see the love behind the warning. You got to see the love behind the warning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us. That's why He sent His Son. God warns us. And He warns us because He loves us. When I was in college, I had to take a class on, a psychology class on human development. And I didn't go to a Christian college. I went to a state college and graduated from Troy. And I had to take this class. And the psychology teacher found out that I was a preacher kid and I was also going into the ministry. And so all of a sudden I became the morality expert. I got all those questions. Well, in one of his classes, he brought in his 2-year-old daughter. And now I'm 18, 19 years of age. This 2-year-old is running all over the classroom, into everything. And he made the statement, and he said, "My wife and I decided that we would raise our child without telling her no." We wouldn't tell her no. Now, I wasn't married at the time. I had no children. I thought, I wonder how this is going to work out. Then I got married and had children, realized it probably didn't work out too well. You tell them no because you love them. You tell them no because you love them. And God tells us no so that He might bless us because He loves us. We've got to see the reason behind it. It's because He loves us. Secondly, we got to see the intentions behind the warning. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. God warns us so that He might bless us with an abundant life, that He might fill our life with joy and peace. Now, how many times have you heard a parent when they just have a child and they're holding their baby, and maybe it's a toddler, and somebody says, "Well, what do you want for your child?" "I want them to have a happy life. I want them to have a happy life." Why? Because we love them. But God seeks what's greater for us. He wants us to have a life of joy and peace that far exceeds happiness. His intentions are to bless us. His intentions is to do what is right for us, to keep us from tragedy, to keep us from heartache, so that we might have an abundant life. It's because He loves us, because He's got good intentions for us. And then I want you to see the third thing. How do I see the warnings as blessings? When I see the end results behind the warning. When I see the end results. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If I continue in the life of sin, it's going to result, the end result is going to be death. But the Lord Jesus Christ sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary in my place that I might have life. The end results of following the Lord and yielded to the warnings of eternity and coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior is great blessings, the greatest blessings of all. I got to see the end results. Many times we look and we think a warning is not a gift, but a warning is a gift. It's a great gift. It's a gift from the Lord. It's a gift to get us on the right path. It's a gift to get us from going down a road of destruction to getting on a road to living toward eternal life. God blesses us. And so I hope that when you pick up God's Word and you read God's Word, that when you see these warnings, that you understand it is because God loves me and He wants what's best for me and He wants to bless me and He wants to spend an eternity with me. When you go back to the very first warning found in the Word of God, when God warned Adam about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when He gave him that warning, while Adam was in the Garden of Eden, and as long as he heeded that warning, was obedient to the Lord, it talks about the Lord walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. And if you read chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned, they heard the Lord walking. How did they know it was the Lord? Because He'd fellowship with them before. And they had a close relationship. And they had a close fellowship. But when sin came in, it destroyed that relationship. And at that point in time, Adam and Eve died. They died spiritually immediately and they began to die physically. And before the foundation of the world, God knew that they were going to sin. God had a foreordained plan for His Son to take our place so that we might have that fellowship restored again. God wants a relationship with each of us. And from Genesis to Revelation, He warns us to heed the warning, so He might bless us. So that He might spending eternity with us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So my prayer is this: when you read and you see these warnings, see the love of God, see the good intentions that He has for us, and realize it's because He wants to bless us. So don't take them for granted. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You and we thank You for the whole Word of God, for the Word that encourages us, the Word that lifts us up, and for the Word that cuts us through our hearts and convicts us. We thank You for the whole Word of God. Because we know, dear Lord, from the exhortations to the praise to the warnings, that You gave it all to us so that we might be blessed. And Father, I know, dear Lord, there's not a single one of us today that has not failed. I know, dear Lord, that I failed in so many ways. And I look back and see my failures, but I praise the Lord that when we come and confess our sins, You cleanse us and You forgive us and You restore us. Father, help us to realize that Your Word is to guide us, to lead us into a path of an abundant life, a life of joy and peace, a life that would be a light pointing others to Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, if there's one here today who has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would call them, that they would answer the call, that they'd open the door of their heart, that they would pray and ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins, to come in to make them a new person, to save them. I pray to the Lord that there's a Christian today that has wandered away and they've gotten away from their Bible study and their prayer life and living for You. Dear Lord, that today that they would rededicate themselves to You, begin walking close to You again. Father, help us to realize how precious Your Word is. In Jesus' precious, holy, and wonderful name do we pray. Amen.